Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians and the fifth chapter. We're going to focus on verses 18 and 19, but right now I'm going to read verses 15 through 21. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll call today's message, Fill Your Life with Worship. Fill your life with worship. And there's some important things to be found in this text, and we're not going to cover them all. But there's one main thing that shines through this that when you see it, it's going to shock you and delight you and encourage you and exhort you. Ephesians 5, fill your life with worship, starting in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Father, I plead with you to pour out of your Spirit your goodness and grace and mercy that we might be being fulfilling this command to keep on being filled by the Spirit. Lord, that we would be able to please you in all that we do. We are not worthy, but you are. And our outer selves are being wasting away. But inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And Lord, there are things that are unseen that we are looking for, but they also give rise to things that we can see. And you show us in this passage. So help us to be wise and not be foolish. Help us not to waste our lives, but to worship with our lives. This is what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So today I want to talk about a godly goal for your spiritual life. I want to talk to you about putting godly order and purpose in your life. I want you to be able to make the most of your life and make the best of every hardship. That it doesn't necessarily change every hardship, but whatever you could do to make that the best that you could in that hardship, what would you do? The text holds that key for us. And I want to focus on one vital factor in making that happen. The goal is to be continually filled by the Holy Spirit. And the vital factor is about worship. And when you see this and we put it together, you're going to be like, I never saw that before. Or maybe you had, but you didn't see the fullness of that. And so there's many places we could go, but we're going to get right down and outline this text and show you how to fill your life with worship. Because being filled by the Spirit is impossible without being filled with worship. Now, for some, worship is already an important influence in your life. I'm glad for that. But maybe you haven't seen this, the fullness of this practice as this passage gives it. And I want to challenge you to fully apply it as the text instructs you to do. And we'll do so in a way that you will find easy, digestible, and exciting, if I could say it that way. Now, you'll be amazed at that. Now, for some others, you might not realize that worship is such an important facet of being filled by the Holy Spirit and bringing godly order and purpose to your life, and you'll be encouraged. Now, in our text, in the English Standard Version, it says, be filled with the Spirit. But being filled with the Spirit does not mean more of the Holy Spirit being poured into you. The Holy Spirit is not the content of this filling, but the agent who does the filling. So, it may be helpful for you to think of being filled by the Spirit. The Spirit is filling you with His goodness, with His godliness. Right? So here's the picture. Instead of the world filling your mind, heart, and life with its garbage, the Holy Spirit is filling you with goodness and godliness. Someone has said that the human spirit fails unless the Holy Spirit fills. You must be filled by the Spirit to be a healthy, strong, and growing Christian. Those are three separate words. Healthy, strong, and growing Christian. This is the key, but it's not something you're seeking as, boom, then it happens, then boom, then it happens. You're not seeking experiences. This is about your life experience and the pattern of your life experience. Where are you getting the wind in your sails from?
Now, again,
it's God's will. This is an imperative. It's God's command to continually be in the process of being filled with being filled with the Spirit, it says, basically.
But some people might be confused as to what being filled with the Spirit is in the first place. And you might have seen some people who were supposedly filled with the Spirit and were acting like they were drunk. So I want to clear up any confusion. And I want to challenge you to apply what this passage is teaching with regards to the place of worship in the process and results of being filled by the Spirit. This is the answer you're looking for. Ephesians 5:18 commands you to be continually filled by the Spirit. Now, the command is modified by the participles, by these phrases here in verses 19 through 21. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody, giving thanks, and submitting to one another. That much is clear. You see that it says that. Being filled by the Spirit, addressing one another, singing, making melody, and all that. But there's a question for us to answer here. Are these phrases indicating how you get filled by the Spirit? Or are they just what happens when you get filled by the Spirit? And most often you'll see people say, this is what happens when you get filled by the Spirit. You start singing, you start making melody, you want to have worship, all these things. And, of course, there's that submission thing, but we'll get to that. But let me say, it is both. It is both. Most times you hear people focusing on the results, and then they just say, being filled with the Spirit, and then they make stuff up. Or they go to other areas of the Bible. But did the Ephesians have the rest of the Bible? No. Was Ephesians a circular letter that went out to all the churches? Yes. So there must be something in the book of Ephesians itself. And, of course, it talks about obedience in chapter 4 and praying those prayers that you would know the love of God and the power of God and all that. Yes. But I want to say that this is also not just what happens when you're filled with the Spirit, but part of being filled by the Spirit. When these things are filling your life, when you've got a song in your heart, you're giving thanks, you're wanting to come to church, you're wanting to sing, you're making this melody, you're talking to people, you know, someone, oh, it's Isaiah, by the way. Yeah, 44:2, I think, I'll look it up again. I was formed in the womb, you knew me, amen. But when these things are filling your life, you're yielding to the Spirit, acting in accord with God's grace. You're following God's will, amen? I mean, obviously. And when you're being filled by the Spirit, these things will also be a result. This passage is describing the working of the Holy Spirit in the corporate body, in a church worship service. Now, the Holy Spirit fills His people as we worship together. There it is. The Holy Spirit fills His people as we worship together. And what comes before these phrases, these five participles, and what follows these phrases give you descriptions of order and purpose in every area of your Christian life. Now, tracing the flow of Paul's thought process here is very helpful. So I want you to look down at your Bible and start in verse 15 and follow with me. If you look at verses 15 through 21 as a unit, you'll see what Paul's trying to convey. If you want to walk in wisdom, amen, anybody? Right? That's verse 15. If you want to make the best use of the time, that's verse 16. If you want to understand the will of the Lord instead of being foolish, hallelujah, that's verse 17, then follow the prescription of verse 18 and live the description of verses 19 through 21. So that's the setup here. Now look carefully again at verse 17. Let me read that. Therefore, right, look carefully, be wise. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, I don't know. What's God's will for this? What's God's will for that? Are you ready, church? People talk about finding God's will for your life as if it's something you've got to figure out. And then to do that, you have to learn to hear God's voice. That's not true. God's Word is God's voice. Listen, don't turn off. God's Word is God's voice. And the most important things about God's will for your life are clearly explained in the Bible. Of course, I know what people want. They want to know about God's specific will for some specific thing in the specific area of their life. Me too. And of course, God knows that too. So listen carefully. Listen to this very clearly. Remember this. I'll say it more than once. Remember this. It is along the path you already know to be God's will that you find what you want to know about God's will. Maybe you've never realized that. You've been spending all your life trying to, what's God mean? What's this? Left at the light. Come on. Stop. It is along the path that you already know is God's will that you find what you want to know about God's will. If you're not in the right neighborhood, you will not find the right house. Yes. If you're not being filled with the Spirit, that wind in your sails is going to lead you somewhere else besides God's will. Again, it is along the path you already know to be God's will that you find what you want to know about God's will. Those that are following God more closely will see His will more clearly. Now look, again, closely at verses 15 to 17. You don't need to waste your time asking and seeking God's will as if it's some secret thing. You just need to follow what is given as God's will for all Christians. You can know, understand, and experience God's will for your life. It isn't some secret hidden mystery. It's a clear word from God, and such a word is given to you right here in this passage. God wants you to find this, and then you'll find out about all that other stuff. I'm not wrong about that. He wants you to do this. Be being filled with the Spirit. As that's happening, obviously you're going to be following God. You'll walk right into His will. Set you free today. Yeah. Anybody need that? I need that real bad. Because there's a million choices. Remember, Paul, in 2 Corinthians 2, he was in Troas, and the people of Corinth were saying, he left us high and dry. But Troas was booming. And he's like, but I got to go back there. I told him I was coming back. I better explain what's going on. And then he thought, well, if I go back there, then Troas is going to say the same thing Corinth is. I got no place to win. I'm in a rock and a hard place. And he goes, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. He goes, even if I make what seems to be a bad decision, God's still going to work it out. I'm doing what's right by God. I'm being filled with the Spirit. Triumph, triumph, triumph. That's what's going on. And we don't always realize that. And we get so stuck, we get superstitious about things. We go, put out a fleece or whatever. Stop it! Or we're frozen in fear. Here I go once again, giving the helicopter story. I want to know God's will, and the flood's coming, and it's up to your ankles, and they come, and on a bicycle, hey man, we need to get out of here. This flood's out. No, I'm trusting God, waiting for His will. And then it gets a little worse, and then it's up to your knees, and someone comes with a car and says, look, we're not going to be able to ride cars here, but you need to get out of here. No, I'm trusting God. I want to know His will. And then, you know, it gets a little more, and someone comes by with a boat, because now you're on top of the house. And like, come on. No. Praise be. I'm trusting the Lord, seeking His will. And then some guy comes with a helicopter.
Attention, get your butt out of here.
And lays down the net.
No, I'm being stupid. Excuse me, I'm seeking God's will.
The next thing, the man wakes up and he's in heaven. And he goes, this was your will? He goes, look, I sent you a bike, a car, a boat, and a helicopter. What more did you want? But we go, we're so afraid. If I said, find a good church and build your life around it, but does it have this, does it have that? Come on, man. Are you with me? God's will for your life is not a matter of mystery that needs to be revealed. It's a matter of faithful obedience to what has already been revealed. Once more, look, we're not even to our passage, our subject yet, but here we go. Once more, look carefully at verse 17. The Bible describes foolishness. You know how it describes foolishness? As knowing what is right and choosing not to do it. Right? Yeah. That's what being foolish is. You know what to do, you just don't want to do it. As my belly saith to you now. But it's foolish to have God's word about God's word. Just, therefore, don't be foolish. Understand what God's will is, and then He gives it to you. The Bible describes it. It's foolish not to have God's word about God's will and then not follow it. And it says, keep being filled by the Spirit. Don't live like you used to. Live this way. But then it's like, okay, now they're going to tell me I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, and it's going to pile on more and more and more and more stuff. What if we had a better way? What if you didn't have to listen to me? What if we didn't know if our broadcast is working or not? Okay. Okay, we're going to hold on here. You're going to have to put your hands on my rear?
Yep.
Depends on what church you go to, brother. Being filled with the Spirit is fun, but not in the way you think, necessarily. We're going to get there in a minute. The will of God is not is something you live out. It's not something you find out. You got to figure out. And this passage describes a big part of what living out God's will for your life is. And focusing on verses 18 and 19, you'll see how worship is a big part of that. Verse 18 tells you not to be filled by the spirit of the age, which is characterized by drunkenness. It's not just saying drunkenness. But what's the most stupid thing you do? Drink and drive, right? Right? Rather, you're being filled by the Spirit of God, which is characterized by verse 19, godly music and singing. Hallelujah. Now, let me say a brief word about verses 20 and 21. This is also about being filled by the Spirit. Verse 20 speaks of thankfulness, and verse 21 speaks of mutual submission. And it might seem, mutual submission? Like verse 21 is some sort of call for eliminating authority in the church. Is this verse telling you that part of being filled by the Spirit includes a universal, purely democratic, no one's in charge situation? Of course it isn't. But what does submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ mean? Everything else from verse 22 to chapter 6, verse 9. That's what he says. Submitting to one another. Now, he explains what the mutual submission looks like in the context of marriage, in the context of children and parents, and work relationships. That's what he's saying. Now, to put it briefly, it's all about knowing your role and accepting your responsibility. Authority flows to those who accept sacrificial responsibility. And authority flows away from it, flees from those who avoid or abdicate responsibility. It's the same with being filled by the Spirit. Will you accept your role? Ephesians 5:21 through 6:9 teaches that every Christian, in any given role, whatever your social strata, whatever the color of your skin, whatever height, whatever weight, whatever gender, whatever, whatever, individually and collectively are commanded to be filled by the Spirit. Now let's get to verses 18 and 19. The first thing you might wonder is, why this contrast? Why the contrast of don't be drunk, because that's debauchery, but be filled by the Spirit? Well, what was going on is that's the old lifestyle. The pagans would drink until they were drunk and thought that helped them commune with gods. Paul says that old way just leads to debauchery. In other words, inappropriate, destructive, wasteful behavior. We don't have to know. We know what drunk looks like, right? We know what it acts like, right? Now, worship isn't just a matter of putting your heart into it, as if sincerity is all that matters. No, Jesus said we're to worship in spirit and in truth, in ways that are heartfelt, yes, but also in ways that God has prescribed. So he's not just saying, don't drink anymore and think that's worship, but do something else. No, he's saying do something specific. And he says, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, etc. Now, knowing that, let's ask a question. Is God asking you to be like a drunk person just under a different influence? I'm drunk in the Spirit. No. No. He's not. He's asking you to come under a different influence, but as completely different manifestations. And those manifestations are typified in verse 19 through 21. Now, if I'm saying something that has been you, remember such were some of you. And if it was you yesterday, that's okay. It doesn't have to be you today or tomorrow. But Christians should not get drunk, because it contradicts your Christian witness. It leads to debauchery. It is debauchery. It's corrupt, inappropriate, debased, destructive, wasteful behavior. Can I get an amen? Do we need to preach that these days? See, this is not all Paul is doing, but he's saying, think of the stupidest thing you can do. Okay, here's some sloppy drunk who just took his clothes off and is running down the street, and he's my size and he wants to get in a fight with somebody twice his size. Stupid, right?
That's the contrast. We're not supposed to be like that. What's the Christian answer to that? You avoid, resist, and overcome such bad behavior when you're being filled by the Spirit. To keep being filled by the Spirit is the key, listen, to resisting temptation, to serving faithfully, and to suffering joyfully. What? Yes. Spirit infilling is not spiritual intoxication. And being filled by the Spirit doesn't mean you're acting like a drunk just without hurting anybody. Being filled with the Spirit isn't about being giddy and laughing and such. Now, I understand the value of having fun, and I'm not saying that being filled with the Spirit doesn't lead to a good time. What I'm saying is that the Bible says that what that good time looks like in verses 19 to 21. We're singing, we're having a good time with it, you know, we can cut up a little bit, whatever, but it's not all this acting just like we were. I wonder. It's something different. Instead of foolishly wasting time in a depraved community, it's involved with a true Christian community. Instead of bar songs, it's God songs. Instead of rebelling against God, it's rejoicing in God. Instead of sexual immorality, godly morality. Instead of being out of control, self-control. See, the Ephesians used to think of worship as getting drunk and having an orgy as all sorts of wasteful and wicked excess. Now they're called to think about worship in terms of being filled by the Spirit. That's the contrast. It's not just about drinking, but about new ways of thinking about God and life and worship. It's a vivid contrast, the difference between being a drunk and being a disciple. Instead of being saturated with the things of the world, we become saturated with the truth of the Word of God. A Spirit-filled life is a life that is saturated with Scripture. We read it this morning, Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And now listen, it sounds like Ephesians. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Doesn't that look like what we're reading now? Now in Ephesians 5:18, Paul contrasts the effect of the Holy Spirit with the state of drunkenness. And this helps you to understand the Spirit-filled life. How? Let me explain. Are you ready? The process of going from sober to drunk is like the process of being filled by the Spirit. First, you make a choice to allow an influence. Second, that influence begins to exert control. And then third, that controlling influence produces a change. In other words, you decide to drink. You start to come under the influence. You get drunk and behave poorly. You make bad choices, bad decisions, and act like a fool. You aren't pleasing God. Being filled by the Spirit works the same way. First, you make a choice to allow an influence. Second, that influence begins to exert control. And then third, that controlling influence produces a change. Here it is. You decide that you want God's Spirit to fill you. So you follow the pattern of verse 19 through 21. You start to come under the influence. You're being filled by the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit results. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You're living out verses 19 through 21. And you want to do it more and more. You exhibit godly behavior. You make better choices. You're pleasing God. Now, being filled by the Spirit is a lifelong pursuit. It's not a one-time event. It's an ongoing experience. It's repeated. It's not permanent. It's a process. It's not a destination. Does that make sense? As I said, verses 19 through 21 describe both the process of being filled by the Spirit and the results of being filled by the Spirit. But I want you to notice verse 19 especially. There you see that a major part of being filled with by the Spirit is being filled with worship. It's the first result that Paul mentions. Spirit-filled means spiritual worship. So we're briefly going to break down verse 19. That's all we're going to do today. And what it means to be filled by the Spirit by being filled with worship. It says addressing one another. Now, some of your versions will say speaking to one another. The part that's important is, it's one another. Being filled by the Spirit happens in the context of community. So, somebody, am I on or am I off? I can't hear me. I mean, you can hear me, I know. But are we? Yes, we are. Being filled by the Spirit happens in the context of community. The church and the church community are a necessary spiritual filling station. So many people today think they're good with God, but then they think they don't have to go to church. Now, don't you ever want to answer that for people? Think about this. Think about this text. Consider this text, and that is a command, and ask yourself a question. How can you continually, consistently fulfill this command with no community? They put at the end of the paper, QED. Means problem solved. End of story. You need corporate worship, period. I'm not saying you don't have personal worship. We're going to get into that. I'm not saying that, you know, there's not other things. There's prayer and giving and fellowship. Yeah. But he says, being filled by the Spirit, addressing one another. Boom. Boom. Mic drop. Again, how can you consistently fulfill this command with no community? Now, what about the person that's in the trailer and there's nobody within 100 miles? You're not that, are you? And by the way, if you are, find something, there is somebody, start walking. Start a church. Go see that person. Whatever. The phone works two ways. They don't have a phone. They don't have this. They don't have that. How do you know? And pray. Well, you don't have to go to church. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Answer me this. How do you get filled by the Spirit? Well, I'm doing this and I feel the heebies and I... What is this text here? It says, be being filled with the Spirit. And then it says, addressing one another. Where's your one another? I'm not saying... Look, we're broadcasting now. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm saying that when people forsake it, knowingly, willingly, defiantly, do you really think they're being filled with the Spirit? I just don't get along with people. Well, then you got to get along with them in the one area. Right? Can we worship Jesus together? I know you don't like me. But do you like me? You know? I don't like you either. But I want you to come to church and worship Jesus. Now, yes, I do think that hearing the word preached and having private devotions are part of being filled by the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms would include preaching. Colossians 3:16 agrees with that. Preaching God's word and hearing the word preached are forms of worship. And making melody with your heart is plural, but it's also personal. Of course, there's prayer and other means of being filled by the Spirit. So corporate worship isn't the only facet of being filled by the Spirit, although we do all those things in a corporate setting as well. As verse 19 to 21 clearly teach. So it's not the only facet, but it's an indispensable part. As verse 19 and Colossians 3:16 also clearly teach. You can't make it one week and the TV broke. I understand that. That's not the issue. The issue is God teaching that being filled by the Spirit comes about when you're addressing one another, when you're in worship with one another, when there is a one another and you're focused on the Lord Jesus, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, this is corporate worship. The church that is filled with the Spirit is saturated with godly music and singing. The church is filled by the Spirit, and then people are filled by the Spirit as they are filled with praise. What? We're singing, right? Did we do it at the end of last week's sermon? It was all over, and then I just started singing. When we all get to heaven, right? And people were hanging around, and we were singing. And everybody still hung around, and did whatever. Because people don't want to leave that, right? Yes, you should be singing and making melody everywhere you are, everywhere you go. But you can't forego the time with others in corporate worship. Together, with one voice, we glorify God. You think that's not being filled by the Spirit? If you're thinking, but I want to speak in tongues, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, stop. What does he say here? I'm not talking about the Spirit going in. Oh, boy. We can talk about redemption history and all that. See my sermon, Missing the Point of Pentecost. You're just looking for this. I'm talking about a life experience that keeps the wind in your sails where you don't have to look for some kind of zap. But you have true zeal. Why? Because the Lord is with you. And that other stuff can happen. That's fine. But you really want to spend your life going to every single conference, every single concert, every single this, that, and the other thing, buying every book, trying to find that thing? Or you just want to get to church, start singing, and you'll feel it, man. I just don't like that kind of music. Well, then, if you start liking that kind of music, maybe God did that. Oh, my. You ever had a song that just sticks in your head? Right? Pass the promise to our sons and daughters, God Most High, God our Father, we bear witness. Can anybody bear witness with the fact that they have known? And I'm not even saying a feeling. But you know that you're being filled by the Spirit. Why? Because you're worshiping God together with other people. Ta-da! Don't make it harder than it is. Be filled by the Spirit. Go in church and sing about Jesus. Giving thanks about that. Making a melody in your heart, in your core, on your refrigerator, in your leapfrog. Do it on a TikTok. Make them mad. Come on, man. I want to do all that, of course. Do it right in the middle of the rules, right in the middle of, you know, come on, or whatever, man. Just get on the beach and just do this. Thank you, Jesus. Right? And mean it. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you don't care. You want to tell everybody. Right? And you got baptized, and we baptized those 18 people, and they came up out of water and went, well, you know, I'm hungry. They were hungry, right? They were like, yes, Jesus! And you don't got to think, I've got to find this, I've got to find that. You can get it every, you can get it on Wednesday. We sing on Wednesday, too.
Amen.
And we do preach word and all that. Well, then why don't I? Other people do. It's called F-A-I-T-H. He says. Do we believe what he says? He says. Don't be drunk. Don't be an idiot. Be wise. How do you be wise? Be filled by the Spirit. How do you be filled by the Spirit? Get together with a group of people and start singing about Jesus till it gets down in your heart, and then you give thanks for it, and then you won't worry about it. But my role is this, my role is that. I'm a deacon, I'm a... You decide to be around the fact of Jesus' reality and filling you, and you're getting excited about it. Woo! Singing and songs. He gives you everything. Songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We start making up songs. Talking about Jesus. You can't forgo the time with others in corporate worship. That's not being filled by the Spirit. That's being filled by the selfish. By the superstitious. By the whatever S word I can make up. It's not right. It's not what the Bible says. It's not what he's telling you to put your faith. He's telling you clearly, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, in your home, in your car, everywhere you can. Start saturating your life with God's Word and godly music. This is basic level stuff, and we have to come back to it. We forget it. We forget the power of baptism and the Lord's Supper. We forget the power of meeting together and singing every week. And in ourselves and all that. Yes, turn off the news and put on the good news. I coined that. That's over. Turn off the news and turn on the good news. Woo! I got it one more time. Turn off the world news and turn on the good news. Turn off the junk and turn on the Jesus. Woo! Everybody, oh, why are we doing this? I don't do it off either. I mean, when I was in college, I mean, I had every 70s, 80s rock song in the world on there, and I still remember them. How about finding the ones you like and turning it on? Let's make the Christian stations the number one stations. And we can start our own, whatever. Yeah, who's got imagination around here? Right? You think God doesn't want you to use that? Who invented all the stuff? Think. Allow your heart and your mind to come under the influence. If you want to be filled by the Spirit, fill your life with worship. Heavenly Father, A lot of bad news out there, but there's that good news that trumps all the bad news. And even though there's a lot of sad stuff, we've got a lot of glad stuff. It doesn't mean we don't pay attention to that stuff and we don't try to enter into that stuff and redeem that stuff and rescue people from that stuff. It means that we do that. Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. Getting wind in our sails by the power of the Holy Spirit even now. Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your gladness, with thankfulness, with joy as we speak to one another, as we sing, and as we submit to what your word says in faith. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, our King. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.